Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios, it's The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome in to the show on this Thursday morning. It is The Glass Half Full, and I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we get into the show today, I do want to give you some programming notes. Of course, coming up a little later, we'll have War Eagle Weekly at 10 a.m. That'll be coming up right after us, right here on The Glass Half Full. Then, of course, tonight we'll have the Commanders taking on the Eagles. Then tomorrow we will have Roll Tide Radio starting at 10 a.m., and we'll also have a little high school football for you tomorrow night from Jacksonville. That's right. ESPN Pensacola hitting the road, heading east to Jacksonville, to Duval. We're going to head out there, and we're going to broadcast the game between the Tate Aggies and the Nice Panthers. That should be a great one there in the FHSAA 6A regional quarterfinal matchup there. So we'll have that game for you coming up tomorrow night. And because of that, I will actually be on the road tomorrow morning heading to Jacksonville, so that means there will be no Glass Half Full tomorrow, so you will have Greeny starting at 9 a.m. right here tomorrow morning on ESPN Pensacola. Glass Half Full will be back on Monday morning to recap not only all the action from the weekend, but of course the action from Jacksonville, as again the Tate Aggies, the 8-seed Tate Aggies, will take on the top-seeded Nice Panthers. Again, that game coming up tomorrow night, and we will have it live for you from Jacksonville. Let's get to the game happening tonight that you can hear right here on ESPN Pensacola. The Commanders and the Eagles. Eagles favored at home by 4. This is an interesting game for me when I look at this game, because honestly and truthfully, this is a game the Eagles should win. Right? Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, the defense for the Eagles up against this Commanders team. But really, this Commanders team has been solid through this season, right? When you didn't necessarily think they would step up and make a play, they've stepped up and made a play. Now, they've had some help along the way. Ask a Chicago Bear fan. They know all about that help that that Washington's gotten throughout the last few weeks. But they're still a solid football team. They do have question marks, though, that I think in this matchup are going to be issues for them. And I think that's really kind of what I'm going to focus on as the keys to this game. First and foremost, for the Commanders, you've got to look at your run defense. You are at the bottom of the NFL. There are 32 teams inside the National Football League. The Commanders are 28th in stopping the run. That is just about last place. They are at 28th in stopping the run. And they're going up against Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, is statistically the second best running back. He's ranked at number 2, averaging about 110 yards per game. And did you watch him last week? Not only can he run the football, is he fast, is he physical, but he can jump over dudes going backwards. Dude is unreal. Saquon, like, we knew Saquon from back in his Penn State days. We knew Saquon was legit. We knew he was the real deal. But when you are hurdling guys but first going backwards, that is a different level of skill that we don't see in the NFL, right? I think you look at the running back position in the NFL this year, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, those are the guys that are just dominating right now in the league. So that is going to be a tough task for the Commanders coming up tonight. They have to slow down Saquon Barkley. That's the key word right there, right? I said slow down, not stop. You're not stopping Saquon Barkley, right? You're not going to be able to do it. He's going to get his, for sure. But you have to slow him down. You have to make it a little tougher for him to get his. He's going to find it. You just got to make it a little tougher for him to find it, right? If you know what I'm saying there. So I think heading into this game for the Commanders, that's got to be number one on your list, slowing down Saquon Barkley, right? Yes, okay, Jalen Hurts, the receivers, you've got to worry about them too. You've got to worry about this offense. You've got to worry about Vic Fangio on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles, and we'll talk about that defense coming up in just a second. But the main thing, if you're the Commanders, the number one thing on your list you've got to be worried about is your defense slowing down Saquon Barkley. Because if you can't do that, you're not winning this football game tonight. That is for darn sure. On the other side of things, as we are talking about the Thursday night game here between the Commanders and the Eagles on the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Thank you for tuning in. You want to be a part of it, you got a question or a comment, hey, give us a shout. You can text or call 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. On the other side of the ball for the Commanders, you've got a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels that is going to be going up against Vic Fangio. And if you don't think Vic Fangio didn't have this game circled on his schedule and looked at this game and said, oh, I get to go against the rookie. Oh, he did. He did. He is salivating. Because Vic Fangio loves to disguise coverages. Right? He loves to disguise coverages. He makes you think they're going to come from the left, but then they're going to come from the right. He makes you think they're going to come from the left and the right, and they don't even come at all. And then all of a sudden, you're in your head wondering, where are they going to come from? Where are they going to? Okay, they're showing a look from the left, but they could come from the right. They could come from the middle. But they're showing a look from the left. What if they actually do come from the left? And that's what's going through the quarterback's head, right? He's not focusing on what he actually needs to focus on. He's too worried about where that rush is coming from. And the thing that makes it even worse, for a rookie quarterback going up against Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator is the fact that with this Philly defense, he doesn't have to blitz linebackers, right? He can do all of that with the four guys he has down on the line. And because of that, that allows the linebackers to drop back into coverage. So not only are you worried about where is the pressure coming from, yes, they're giving this look, but where is it coming from really? But now when you drop back, you've got extra guys back there as safety nets for the defense. So the holes that you normally would have are going to be a lot smaller. The throws that you have to make against this defense have to be a lot more on target. And that's one of the reasons. And I don't know if the Commanders have enough in this game. Just simply because I don't know if they can stop Saquon Barkley because they've struggled to stop the run all year. They have struggled to stop the run all year. That's why they're ranked 28th in the NFL against the run. But then on top of that, I don't know if Jaden Daniels can handle the pressure that's going to be brought to him by this Vic Fangio defense. Right? Fangio doesn't have to bring linebackers, but he's going to tonight. He may not every play, but he's going to enough to where he's getting in Jaden's head, and Jaden can't think left, right, up, down. He can't think about where he needs to go with the football. And it's going to start messing with the young man's head. It's going to start messing with his progressions, and it's going to cause drives to stall out, and they're going to get sacks, and it's really going to put the Commanders' offense in a tough situation. And it's going to be even tougher for guys like Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry. It's going to be harder for him to get out there and find his 20th 100-yard receiving game in his career. That's what he's looking for tonight. He'd love to get it tonight. And I will say this. If he gets 100 yards receiving, that means that offensive line did a good job of protecting Jaden Daniels. The rush didn't get back there. And I will actually say, if Scary Terry does get to 100 yards receiving in this game for the Commanders, there is a great opportunity that the Commanders win this game. I don't know if I have faith for them to actually get to that point. Because like I said, between Saquon Barkley on the offensive side of the ball for the Eagles, and then on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles, that pressure that they're going to bring to Jaden Daniels, but the fact that they only need to bring the four defensive linemen on the pressure, and they can drop linebackers back into coverage, that's going to help their secondary out even more. It's going to be tough for this Commanders team in this game tonight against the Eagles. Can the Commanders win this game? Yes, they are good enough to win this football game. But also at the same time, if the Eagles dominate this game, I'm not going to be surprised one bit. Just because of the way the Commanders match up in this game. It's not a favorable matchup for them. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. It's the Glass Half Full. Moving on now to some other headlines from the world of sports. Brent Venables gets a vote of confidence from the president and the athletic director. Oklahoma, 5-5 on the year, 1-5 in the SEC. Let's real quickly head to the ESPN Pensacola phone lines. Looks like we got Ronald. Ronald, what's going on, buddy?
Okay, Mr. Jordan Glass, dude, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and with this Vangio defense, along with the addition of our Saquon Barkley, I don't think the Eagles are getting enough play as, like, Super Bowl favorites, dude. You get a decent enough lead with this Vangio defense, you pound Barkley, Eagles are going to be really, really tough to beat, dude.
No, Ronald, you are absolutely correct on that, buddy. I mean, I think, again, you are spot on. They are not getting enough credit. They're not getting enough love. Everybody wants to talk about the Chiefs, and I get it. The Chiefs are undefeated. They deserve their flowers and all that. They want to talk about the Ravens and all good quality football teams, but I think the Eagles are right there on that same plane with them. And like you said, if you get a big enough lead, you just give Saquon Barkley the rock, let him do what he does best. And, the Eagles, and even aside from Saquon Barkley, it's not like he's the only guy for this Eagles offense. When you still got a guy like Jalen Hurts, who we saw last week against the Cowboys, can definitely still use his legs and hurt you and also use his arm to hurt you. They've got talented receivers. They've got a good quality offensive line. This Eagles team is one of those teams. They're flying under the radar right now, but honestly, in Philly, I think they're kind of okay with that right now. You know, they kind of had a bad couple of weeks early on in the season, but they seem to figure it out since then. But Ronald, you are spot on once again, my friend. I agree with you. I don't think they're getting enough credit.
Yeah, we're going to check it out, and I'm going to be really interested to see what this kid, Jaden Daniels, can do with this Vangio defense. I don't know, dude. I'm fly, Eagles fly. You have a good day, sir.
I hear you on that. Hey, Ronald, you have a great Thursday as well, buddy. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, he's absolutely correct. Jaden Daniels, I think, look, Jaden's going to have to use his legs tonight. He's going to have to get out of the pocket. He's going to have to extend plays. Fangio is going to be bringing pressure left and right. And the thing about Fangio, again, what's his main thing he loves to do? He loves to disguise that pressure. So can Jaden understand where that pressure is coming from? We will really see tonight just how good Jaden Daniels is at studying film and understanding concepts of an NFL defense. I think this is probably going to be one of the best tests for him on the season in his rookie season of where he's at as far as being able to break down that film during the week and put it into game day knowledge. So we'll see how it pays out for him tonight. But again, some of the other lines, headlines from the world of sports. Brent Venables getting that vote of confidence from the president and athletic director at the University of Oklahoma. They're 5-5 on the season, 1-5 in the SEC. I said heading into this season, Texas probably was not going to have an issue in the SEC just because of how good of a football team they are. And plus, they've played SEC teams over the last couple of years. They had a home-and-home series against Alabama the previous two seasons where Bama came to Austin, then Texas came to Tuscaloosa. So they're used to playing that level of teams. Oklahoma still was trying to kind of rebuild and get their footing after Lincoln Riley left to take the USC job. And I thought that they would struggle and they would have some growing pains, and they've done that. 1-5 on the season in the SEC. So it's going to be a thing where they have to grow and learn how to play ball in the SEC, because it is very different than playing in the Big 12. Big 12, not known for defense. The SEC, definitely known for defense. So it's definitely something that they're going to have to kind of grow accustomed to and almost kind of rebuild that roster with the size they have up front on both lines and how they dominate that line of scrimmage, because that is definitely, the SEC is definitely, even as high tempo as we've gotten with offenses in the SEC, it's still very much a line of scrimmage league. So they're going to have to change some things there. But, I mean, really, Brent Venables overall, this is not the same as Billy Napier at Florida. Brent Venables, 21-15. I mean, he's been there. This is his third season. He's going to have a chance to get them bowl eligible. They need just one more win to get to bowl eligible, which means they would go to a bowl game in all three of his seasons there at Oklahoma. Year two with Dillon Gabriel, they were 10-3. Right? So they were 10-3 last year in 2023. So you have a 10-win team, then you're coming into the SEC, going to be some growing pains. You lose Dillon Gabriel, he transfers to Oregon. So there's definitely some things that Brent Venables has to figure out. But, yeah, this vote of confidence, honestly, it's sad that the vote of confidence even needed to be given by Brent Venables, but there has been some heat from that Oklahoma fan base. But still, the Brent Venables situation at Oklahoma is very different than the Billy Napier situation at the University of Florida, and they've been there about the same. Actually, they've been there the same amount of time. So we'll keep an eye on what Brent Venables can do. I'm actually excited to see the way he recruits and continues to grow this Oklahoma team to be an SEC football team. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Nico, questionable for the game against Georgia this weekend for Tennessee. The Vols had him practicing all week. Josh Heupel's come out and said, hey, he's looked good. He's done better each and every day, practiced more each and every day. But for whatever reason, when the official injury report came out for the game against Georgia yesterday, Nico is listed as questionable. So we will see what happens there. Is it gamesmanship from Tennessee? Yeah, it might be. It's a rivalry game. You know, Tennessee and Georgia don't get along well. So we'll see what happens there. We'll also have to see how it plays out. If Tennessee doesn't play with Nico, how good are their chances at winning on the road in Athens? I think they still have a pretty decent chance if the defense can start fast. If the defense starts slow and it takes them to the second half to get going, then I think it's going to be an issue for them if Nico's not playing. But if that defense can start fast, I think that can help kind of make up for Nico not being the game if he does, in fact, not play for Tennessee against Georgia this weekend. Billy Napier has said DJ Lagway is improving each and every day this week and is looking and trending in the positive direction as far as starting this weekend against LSU. And if he doesn't start, if DJ Lagway can't go for the Gators, it'll be Aiden Warner again. Billy Napier has already said we're going to stick with Aiden Warner. If it's not DJ Lagway, Aiden Warner's the guy that we're going to go to. You know, did the best he could do last week against Texas for sure in Austin, but could just definitely tell he did not belong in that game. No offense to the young man. He didn't belong in that game. So we'll see what happens. I think if DJ Lagway does play, I think Florida's actually got a decent shot at playing, at winning, especially seeing how LSU struggles with a mobile quarterback. So you have Florida in the swamp at home with a mobile quarterback who has a cannon for an arm, by the way. So that's a guy that can hurt you with his legs, hurt you with his arms. Now, obviously, with the hamstring, we'll see how much that would hamper him running the football. But I think if DJ Lagway plays, Florida might actually have a legitimate shot at winning this game over the weekend. And, of course, since there will be no glass half full tomorrow, as I'll be traveling to Jacksonville to call the playoff game between Tate and Nice, I'll actually be making my college football picks coming up here in just a little bit. Also be making our NFL picks for the weekend as well. But I do think it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Florida moving forward with DJ Lagway. I think if he plays, they've got an opportunity to win against LSU this weekend. And if they do that and then they beat Florida State, look out. Florida's 6-6 on the season. Go into a bowl game. If they can win that bowl game, build some positive momentum heading into the offseason, who knows what could happen in 2025 with Billy Napier. Do I still think he's the right guy for that job? No. But if he gets a win against LSU this weekend and he beats Florida State, heck, if he finds a way to beat Ole Miss next week too, and they finish 7-5 somehow, and he really kind of turns this around the last couple of weeks of the season, who knows? Who knows what the future could be for Florida Gators? So it's kind of up in the air right now. But we will take our first time out when we come back. Before we make our college picks when we come back, how would you like to be buried at your favorite team's stadium? Yeah, you heard what I said. We're going to go touch a little on the macabre when we come back with the glass half full right after this on ESPN Pensacola.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas.
So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy.
Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola.
ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full, 9:22 here on this Thursday morning, and just diving right back into it with a very interesting story. And by the way, this article in its entirety is on the main page of ESPN Pensacola, not ESPN Pensacola, but ESPN.com. If you want to go check this out, just a crazy story. Could we be seeing columbariums at Memorial Stadium for the Nebraska Cornhuskers? First and foremost, if you don't know what a columbarium is, if you've ever been to a cemetery, right? Maybe you've had a friend or a family member or somebody like that that's passed away, and you go to the cemetery and you see these columns or these towers with like these smaller, like, they look like the, I'm trying to think of the word here, not mausoleum, because I know mausoleum is the big building, but like the little, like where they put the casket inside the mausoleums, but they're smaller, right? The official name here is a columbarium, and basically that's where if you've been cremated, they will put your urn with your ashes in it, and they will inter it in that. So they were trying to come up with new and interesting ways to sell Memorial Stadium for Nebraska, right? What are some things that we could add to this that are unique, that gives us a unique twist for our stadium? Because they're planning on doing some future remodeling, and they would like to try to get something, you know, done by 2026. And Barbara Weitz, who is part of the Board of Regents at Nebraska, brought it up during the meeting that they should put a columbarium at somewhere in Memorial Stadium, whether that's, you know, on a concourse somewhere, whether they find like an area down on the field where they could potentially put one, or even ironically put one under the field to allow Nebraska fans to be Cornhuskers forever. That went about how you thought it would with the rest of the board. They started laughing. They thought she was kidding at first. And she's like, no, I'm actually being serious. And then they were like, well, we're not going to do that. Until one woman came up to Weitz at a game and said, hey, I read an article where you were talking about doing this here at Memorial Stadium. My husband who passed away, we have his urn at home with his remains in it. He was a massive Nebraska fan. If this was something that you actually did here at Memorial Stadium, I would love to pay for the opportunity to have his ashes interred in a columbarium here at Memorial Stadium, one of the places he loved more than any other place in the world because he was such a big Nebraska fan. So they ended up surveying the rest of the Nebraska fan base, and lo and behold, the fans love the idea. They think it's a great idea. So all those jokes that you hear Ole Miss fans tell about bodies being under this field at Neyland Stadium as part of that rivalry they have with Tennessee, that might actually become a real thing. We could actually start seeing people being buried at Nebraska games. It's a weird concept, but there seems to be a market for it. At least their stadium is named properly for it, Memorial Stadium. It fits, right? It fits. Halloween games are going to be a whole lot more spookier. That's for sure. Would you want this? Like, would you, when you pass away, like if you're an Alabama fan, would you want your remains not scattered over the field, which, by the way, universities frown big time on that. But let's say Alabama jumped on this bandwagon and put a columbarium in Bryant-Denny Stadium. If you're a Bama fan, would you want your remains put in that columbarium? I don't know. It's a weird concept to me. But you know what? If it's what floats your boat, you do you, boo-boo. You do you. I'm not going to knock you for doing it whatsoever. Speaking of Nebraska, changing gears away from that to the games we have coming up this weekend. Nebraska will be taking on USC. Nebraska should win this game. It's in L.A., another Memorial Stadium, but this one's Memorial Coliseum. I think Nebraska should probably win that game, but that's really not going to be one of the biggest games of the weekend. The bigger games of the weekend, we'll just run through some of them right now here. And by the way, you're listening to The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. We're going ahead and looking at this weekend's matchups because, again, there will be no Glass Half Full tomorrow. I will be on the road heading to Jacksonville to call the Tate-Nice 6A quarterfinal FHSAA football playoff matchup from these high schools. So definitely looking forward to that opportunity, being down there and around all those fine folks down there in Duval and in Jacksonville. Should be fun. Maybe we'll ask Trevor Lawrence if he's actually injured or if he's just given up on the season while we're down there, because yikes, we'll talk about that later. But for the college games right now, I think Ohio State, you've got Northwestern. Don't get caught looking ahead to Indiana next week. That's my biggest thing here. Northwestern should not be a team that keeps it close against Ohio State. But if Ohio State is looking ahead to Indiana next week, yeah, that could cause a problem for them. But I think Ohio State takes care of business. Number three, Texas on the road at Arkansas. Watch out, Arkansas in Arkansas. That is a dangerous team to play. But I think Texas is just playing too good of football right now. I think Texas is going to – it'll be closer than their game last week was, right? I don't think Quinn Ewers has five passing touchdowns at halftime like he did last week against the Gators. But it definitely should be a game that they should take care of business in for sure. Clemson, number 20, they're going to be on the road taking on Pitt. Here's our first interesting matchup of the weekend, because really Pitt has an opportunity to really kind of clear up the ACC Conference Championship picture. Because right now we have SMU, who is, I believe, 8-0 in the conference. So they are 8-0 in the conference. They're going to have a shot to be in the conference championship game. But I think that if Pitt finds a way to win this game and knock Clemson
this is
out.
Online listings group. Your Google business profile has not been registered with Google.
All right. So we got a robot call. I thought that was somebody trying to call in and talk a little college football. But I guess they just wanted to talk about our Google business group, which we don't have one of those. But maybe if they're interested, they can call after the show and we'll set one up. Who knows? But getting back to the things that actually matter. It's live radio, folks. You never know what you're going to get. I think if Pittsburgh can find a way to get the win against Clemson, it really is going to kind of clear it up, because then you look at it, it's just SMU and Miami for the ACC championship game moving forward. So Clemson has to be careful in this game, right? If they want a shot at winning a conference championship and maybe even getting into the college football playoffs with two losses on the season, they're going to have to be completely ready for this game. We have not seen Clemson be ready the last couple of weeks. They've looked a little shaky the last two or three weeks, so definitely keeping an eye on this one in Pittsburgh for sure. Auburn and Alabama should have no problems this weekend. Auburn taking on Louisiana Monroe. Bama taking on Mercer. I saw somebody on TikTok talking about how Mercer has the opportunity to do the funniest thing in the world by beating Alabama. They cited NIU at Notre Dame earlier this year. I'm going to shut that down right now. This game is going to be like 52-0 at halftime probably. It's going to be over. It's going to be ugly. Mercer is 9-1 on the year, yes, but look at their schedule. It ain't good. They have not played anybody good for sure. Penn State, this is going to be a gotcha game for Penn State. Keep an eye out. Penn State in a position. All you got to do is win. You don't even have to go to the conference championship game. You're in the college football playoff. Don't trip up against teams like Purdue. Don't go on the road against teams like Purdue and mess up to the point to where they stick around in that game and keep it too close. I don't think that happens. James Franklin seems to be avoiding those types of games and letdowns this season. So I think that Penn State goes into this game and gets it done. But again, this is one of those games for James Franklin. This is why we don't trust James Franklin. This and playing in those big games against teams like Ohio State. We don't trust James Franklin for these exact situations. He's so far earning and showing that it's a little bit better this year. Obviously, the loss against Ohio State a couple of weeks ago didn't help, but he's showing that he's a little bit better at coaching these games and making sure that his team is up and ready to go when they play teams like Purdue, who I'm not even sure if Purdue has won. Have they won a game, maybe one game on the year so far? It's been a miserable year for the Boilermakers for sure. Notre Dame going to be at home taking on Virginia, their second ACC opponent coming in to take them on there in touchdown Jesus territory. I think Notre Dame, is it going to be 52-3 again? No, probably not. Virginia's going to be able to score points. Let's not forget Virginia took Clemson down to the wire and put pressure on the Tigers all throughout that game. Virginia's going to be able to make some plays. Virginia's going to be able to keep it a little bit closer than a lot of people are going to expect, but I think Notre Dame at home should get the win in this game. Boston College against SMU. This is one of those games. this is one of those games. SMU cannot afford to lose a game. Boston College is a team that could very well come into this game and surprise some people. All depends on how Boston College can run the football and how their quarterback can play in this game. SMU, just go out and play your game, right? Don't let Boston College throw you off your game. If SMU goes out and scores points like everybody knows that they can, they should win this game pretty easily at home. But this is one of those games that could get a little weird this Saturday on the college football slate. That's all I'm going to say. Could be a little weird. I think SMU still wins it at home, but it could get weird. LSU heading to Gainesville. That's going to be a 2:30 kickoff between the Tigers and the Gators. This is one of those great rivalries inside the SEC. These two teams do not like each other. These two teams usually get into fights in the field during warmups. Florida carries around like a skeleton cat for whenever they beat LSU. They like to hold it up and celebrate with it. Mike the Tiger on the sideline has an inflatable pool gator that he punches. These two teams just don't like each other. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this game plays out, especially with DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway is going to be the deciding factor. If DJ Lagway plays for Florida, Florida is going to have a great chance at winning this game at home. I think he's going to have a great chance of winning this game at home if DJ Lagway plays, because LSU does not do well, and Brian Kelly, period, does not coach well against mobile quarterbacks. Whether it was at Notre Dame or whether it's now at LSU, against mobile quarterbacks, he just does not do well. So if DJ Lagway plays in this game, if DJ Lagway can be mobile because of that hamstring injury, I think it's going to create an opportunity to where Florida could get a big win for them. And again, with Florida State looming on their schedule, if DJ Lagway plays the rest of the year, they beat LSU. You got to think they're going to beat FSU to close out the season. Florida's 6-6 and go into a bowl game. Not a lot of people expected that after they started 1-2 on the year. So, kudos to that coaching staff and that team if they can do that and get it turned around. South Carolina, Missouri, not a lot of playoff or SEC implications on the line in this game, but this is expected to be a fun game, right? South Carolina, Missouri, just going to get out there and knock each other's heads around. Good old-fashioned SEC ball game right there. Keep an eye on that one. South Carolina at home, so I'm going to lean towards the Gamecocks in this one, but Missouri's good enough to go in there and get the win on the road. Boise State. How about Boise State? They're still in the college football playoff as that highest-rated G5 conference champion, but they're ranked 13th, so they're technically not in the top 12. So Georgia would get bounced out. Boise State would take that final playoff spot as the highest-ranked G5 conference champion. But they've got a tough one. All right, don't overlook San Jose State. The Spartans are 6-3 on the season. They're coming off of a big win over Oregon State 24-13 in their last game. Don't overlook San Jose State in this game. Boise State, a little bit of a close game last week against a team that maybe they should have put away pretty quickly. San Jose State could pull the upset and ruin Boise State's playoff hopes. Tennessee on the road against Georgia. This is the big game of the weekend. This is the one that everybody's going to be keeping an eye on. Not only does it have college football playoff implications, it has SEC conference championship game implications as well. Tennessee heading into Athens. I think Tennessee, if Nico plays, Tennessee is good enough to win this football game. If Nico does not play, as again, he is listed questionable for this game. If he does not go for the Volunteers, I still think Tennessee is good enough to win this game, but their defense has to start strong. They can't wait until after halftime. I think Nico being in this game is going to kind of what gives them that pad of safety, like a safety net, if you will, for the defense to kind of start slow a little bit. But if Nico's not there, that defense has got to be ready to go from the jump, for sure. So I think Tennessee, I don't know about this game. I've gone back and forth on this game. Carson Beck right now is just not locked in, right? Georgia can't run the football. Tennessee, if Nico goes, I think Tennessee could actually probably win this a lot like Ole Miss beat Georgia last week. I think it could be a couple of scores as far as a point differential in the final score. If Nico doesn't go, it's going to all be on Tennessee's defense. How can the Volunteer defense handle being on the road in Athens Stadium against the Bulldogs? If they can start quick and have some success, I think even without Nico, they should still be able to win that game. I'm going to go with Tennessee in this game. We are going to take our quick timeout. When we come back, we'll switch gears and look at some of the NFL right here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola.
Get ready, Alabama fans, for the Roll Tide Radio Show, Friday mornings from 10 till 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Get caught up on the latest Crimson Tide updates, game analysis, and upcoming matchups. Time to talk some football, Alabama football. The Roll Tide Radio Talk Show, every Friday from 10 till 11 a.m., brought to you by Cantomat Ace Hardware, right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Roll Tide.
Today, the Washington Commanders clash with the Philadelphia Eagles at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Getting right back into it here on this Thursday morning. It is 9:41. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. Want to take a look at some of our NFL games from this weekend. Obviously, tonight we'll start off the week 11 of the NFL season. Hard to believe we're already there, but we are. And we will start it off with the Commanders on the road against the Eagles tonight, which, of course, you can hear right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. For this game, I think, again, like we talked about earlier to start off the show, I think the Eagles just have too much in this game for the Commanders. Whether it's Saquon Barkley against the Commanders' defense or whether it's the Vic Fangio defensive scheme that's going to be going up against the rookie quarterback and Jaden Daniels for the Commanders' offense, I think there's just too much there that is going to be a factor for the Eagles at home in this game. They're favored by 4. I actually like the Eagles in this game, and we'll talk about it. We'll break it down a little bit more in detail in just a minute. But for me, I'm going to go with the Eagles in this game. Some other games happening in the NFL this weekend. Green Bay on the road against Chicago. Chicago firing their offensive coordinator. It's scapegoat season in the Windy City right now. That's what it is. It's scapegoat season. They fired their offensive coordinator, and I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Eberflus, there's a very good chance that he is next. A very good chance that when this season is over, they decide to part ways with the head coach there in Chicago. Green Bay, Jordan Love, they're playing too good of football right now. I think they go into Chicago and they get that win. It doesn't matter whether it's Jordan Love. It doesn't matter whether it's Aaron Rodgers. The Packers own the Bears lately, and that's not going to change any this weekend. Jacksonville on the road in Detroit. Detroit's not going to need a big comeback and a big field goal at the end of regulation to win this one. They should be able to cruise to a win here, not only because the Jags are just playing poorly this year, but again, for the second straight week, the Jags will be without Trevor Lawrence at the quarterback position. So that is definitely going to impact them even more and make them even more easier to beat than they already were. So the Detroit Lions should win that one with no problem. Same is the case, Minnesota on the road against Tennessee. Minnesota is just a better football team there. I know they've kind of fallen off. Not a lot of people want to talk about Minnesota as much now that they've lost a couple of games. But Minnesota is still a good football team, and I think they kind of flex their muscles on the road against the Tennessee Titans. The Raiders heading to South Beach to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins finally break their losing streak. They had lost 3 straight games. And really, honestly, and truthfully, if you look at those games for the Dolphins, they lost by 7 points, they lost by 1 point, and then they lost by 3 points. They had opportunities to win those games during that losing streak. It wasn't like they got blown out. So I really do think that the Dolphins are kind of turning that corner now. Tua coming back and being healthy from that concussion he suffered in week 2. I think they have their sights set on a wild card spot. And we've seen this team under Mike McDaniel the past couple of seasons rattle off 6-7 straight wins. If the Miami Dolphins can do that, they're going to have a great opportunity of getting into the postseason. They got the win against the Rams on Monday night. They've got a short week, but they're back at home. The Raiders are just a bad football team right now. I'm going to go with the Dolphins in this game for sure. The Rams on the road against New England, second straight game against an AFC East opponent for the Rams. This one's going to go a little bit better than the Monday night one did. I think the Rams on the road, It's going to be chilly for those California boys, but I think they'll show up and they'll be ready to play. I like the Rams in this one. Give me Matthew Stafford with a big game to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua in this one. The Saints at home taking on the Browns. I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. Right? Regime change seems to do them some good, seems to have interjected some new life and energy into this team. Plus, they're playing a Browns team that's just not good. They don't have Deshaun Watson. Jameis Winston had the one good game against the Ravens, and then he's just back to being Jameis Winston. So I'm definitely going to go with the Saints at home in that one. Colts on the road taking on the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets are just a M-E-S-S-mess, to put it lightly. I actually like the Colts. They're going to start Anthony Richardson again this week. He's going to be back in there. I think he learned his lesson from the tap-out game. He's going to have a little bit of a fire burning inside of him. And look, anybody that watched Anthony Richardson at Florida, you know how talented he can be. And he's just got to transition that into the NFL. And if he can do that, I think he'll be fine as far as his career goes inside the league. But I'm going to go with the Colts on the road against the Jets in this game. Baltimore, this is an interesting matchup for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson does not play the Steelers well. I don't know what it is with Lamar Jackson and why he doesn't play the Pittsburgh Steelers well, but he just doesn't do it. He's 1-3 in his last four games against the Steelers. It's in Pittsburgh. I don't know. Russell Wilson, the Steelers team, they've been playing good football this year. I'm still going to go with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, though. I think, look, Lamar has got a point to prove. Lamar has got an MVP to win. This Ravens team has a Super Bowl to contend for. I think they go into Pittsburgh, and I think they get it done. And by the way, this is the first time that Baltimore has played Pittsburgh after acquiring Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry can be a big part of this offensive performance for the Ravens, and I think he can take some of that pressure off of Lamar Jackson to where Lamar doesn't have to be Superman. He doesn't have to go out there and beat the Patriots on his own. He can turn around and hand the ball off to a guy like Derrick Henry and trust that plays are going to be made. Or when he does drop back to throw, trust that Derrick Henry is going to knock somebody's block off and pass pro. So I do think that having Derrick Henry on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens is really going to kind of give them that boost they need against the Steelers. I like the Ravens in this game on the road for sure. Atlanta, they're going to be on the road taking on the Broncos. Atlanta just playing too good of football right now. All right, Kirk Cousins, he is in his you like that era right now. He's wearing the gold chain. He's swag surfing. He's feeling it in the ATL right now. All right, and I'm going to go with the Falcons. They're playing really good football. They've got a good lead right there inside that NFC South division. Seattle on the road against the 49ers. 49ers are getting healthy at the right time, right? They're getting George Kittle back, Debo. They're getting Christian McCaffrey back. If they can just manage to make field goals, they'll be fine. And if they can just manage Debo Samuel on the sideline to not get mad at the kicker and you know, get in his face, just be like, Debo, he's a kicker. It's not that important. It's not that serious. Just don't hurt him. We may actually need him at some point. If they can work that out, I think San Francisco will be just fine. I like the 49ers in this game at home. Kansas City and Buffalo, this is the biggie on Sunday. And why it's a 3:30 local time kickoff and wasn't flexed to the Sunday night game on NBC, your boy doesn't know, but it wasn't, all right? Instead, that game for Sunday night is going to be the Bengals and the Chargers. Thanks, NFL. But I digress. The Chiefs, the Bills, this is going to be a great game. This is an AFC championship matchup written all over it. This is in Buffalo. I like the Bills. I think the Chiefs get their first loss of the season this weekend. I really do. Look, the Chiefs are good. I'm not going to say, I think I kind of upset some Chiefs fans in the area when I said they weren't as dominant a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about the Chiefs. What I mean when I say that is the playmakers that are normally there for the Chiefs, like Travis Kelce was normally money. Anytime you needed a play, Patrick Mahomes looked his way. It has not necessarily been that way all season. There's been times where that's shown, but it hasn't always been the case. And they've got guys injured. They're bringing guys in. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins coming in. You bring Kareem Hunt in at the running back position. they're trying to kind of revamp and rebuild and get guys in there that can help them out. But you're going into Buffalo to play Josh, the Magic Man Allen, with Amari Cooper and all the fantastic athletes that they have there in Buffalo. I'm going to go with the Bills in this game. I think they're just too good. And then our nightcap, of course, going to be the Bengals and the Chargers. Bengals playing really good football. Chargers, they're playing okay football. I'm going to go Joey B, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Bengals over the Chargers in that nightcap on Sunday. Let's take our final timeout of the show. When we come back, more Glass Half Full right after this.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Closing it out here on this Thursday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Glass Half Full. And again, if you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. You can text or you can call that number and be a part of the show. Of course, as we do every day this time in the show, when we start our final segment, wrapping things up, we want to do our headline roundup where we take a look at all the top headlines happening in the world of sports. And of course, tonight, Thursday Night Football, we have the Commanders taking on the Eagles. You can hear that game right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Westwood One's coverage going to get started for that at 6:30. So be sure to tune in for a great game there. DJ Lagway improving each day in practice for the Florida Gators, looking like he could be a very good chance of starting for the game against LSU this Saturday afternoon. Definitely could be a big boost. Could give Florida an opportunity to pull the upset in that game. Brent Venables receives a vote of confidence from the president and athletic director there at Oklahoma. And yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, he's 21-15 in his first 2.5 seasons, was 10-3 a year ago. Just kind of going over a tough season right now, transitioning into the SEC. I think Brent Venables will be just fine there with Oklahoma. Wimby into the NBA now. Wimby hits another career milestone with the Spurs as he scores 50 points in San Antonio's win over the Wizards last night. LeBron James breaks his own record, becoming the oldest player in the NBA history with 3 straight triple-doubles, had 35 points, 14 assists, and 12 rebounds in LA's win over Memphis last night. The Cleveland Cavaliers, look at the Cavs go. They hold off 76ers last night, 13-0 on the season, one of only 6 teams in the NBA, like all time in the NBA, to start the season off with 13 consecutive wins. Donovan Mitchell, again, a big night for the Cavs, scoring 13 of his 23 points in the fourth quarter, helping them get that big win over the 76ers. Aaron Rodgers, he says he feels like he can play in 2025. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, as he is just about every week. And Pat asked him, he said, do you feel like you can play in 2025? He said, oh, absolutely. Still think I can. When asked about the statement he made heading into this season on whether he could play like the next 4 years or so, he said, yeah, no, I still feel like I can do that. We'll just have to see. He says, obviously, some things with the organization and how they're going to make some decisions in the offseason could affect that. And but, I don't know. I think, look, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you want to play, you're going to play. If you don't want to play, you're not going to play. I think you're in a situation now where your career, you've done just about anything you can and anything you would want to do. So just make your decision, man. Do what you want to do, right? Don't make a decision based off of what the Jets do. Doesn't matter who the Jets bring in as a coach. Just play. If you want to play, play. You've earned that right. You're Aaron freaking Rodgers. Do what you want to do. Thursday Night Football tonight, Commanders and Eagles again. This game is going to be a very interesting matchup. Everything points to the Eagles being able to win this one pretty easily. The Commanders could surprise you and keep it close, but I think for me, the Eagles Saquon Barkley going up against the 28th ranked rushing defense in the NFL. I think Saquon Barkley's got a great opportunity to have a big game, one of his best games of the season so far, and that's saying a lot because he's been pretty big. He's second ranked in rushing with 110 yards per game in the NFL, so I think he's got a great opportunity there. The big thing for me, though, aside from Saquon Barkley, is this Vic Fangio defense and how he is going to bring pressure onto this young rookie quarterback. He's going to disguise it. He's going to have it looking like it's coming from the left, but it's going to come from the right. And then just when Jaden thinks he has it figured out, he's going to make it look like it's coming from the left, and it's going to come from the left. He's going to discombobulate this rookie quarterback. He's going to be able to drop linebackers back into coverage to allow his secondary to have a little bit of help. I think the Eagles at home in this game, and honestly and truthfully, when you look at this game, this should be one of those games where, as when Ronald called a while ago on the show, he said, you know, Eagles aren't getting enough credit. This can be that game where I think the Eagles start to get that credit. I like the Eagles at home. I'm actually going to go 35-17 the final in this one. Normally, I would say at this point, we'll talk about it coming up tomorrow morning, but there will be no glass half full tomorrow. I'll be on my way to Jacksonville to call the Tate Nice game. So I will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy a great weekend of football. We've got War Eagle Weekly coming up next for you right here on ESPN Pensacola, so definitely stay tuned for that. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.